Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Peace Alliance National Monthly Field Call for the month of March 2018. I'm Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and we're so grateful to all of you who are joining us on this Tuesday evening. I'm going to briefly go over our agenda for tonight. In a moment, I'm going to introduce Geralyn Stapleton, and she's going to introduce our special guest, Cameron Onuma, and he'll speak with us for a little while, and then we'll have a chance for discussion, question and answers. And then we're going to go into reviewing our action for the month. Then we'll have a little coaching on that action. Then we'll have an update from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee. And then we'd love to hear from folks in the field. That's any and all of you folks. Hear what's going on in your organizing, in your peacebuilding work, in your lives. And that will wrap it up. So now, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Geralyn Stapleton, who many of you know. Geralyn has been a volunteer and a volunteer leader with the Peace Alliance, a California State Coordinator, and is now our Leadership Council lead in the Legislation Department. So over to you, Geralyn.
Thank you, Dan. And before I introduce our special guest, I just wanted to mention that obviously, you know, the Peace Alliance has always been about changing a culture of violence into a culture of peace. And so we're in discussing tonight in terms of gun violence prevention, where that fits in to our agenda as we decided a while back to support other pieces of legislation that supported our foundation bill, which is now H.R. 1111, the Department of Peacebuilding bill. So where our bill that we're going to be discussing tonight, S-2095 by Senator Feinstein's assault weapon ban, fits into our agenda is in Section 109, Office of Peacebuilding and Information and Research, under B, number 4. So I just wanted to preface the fact that in supporting this bill, that it is just one of the spokes in the wheel of everything that we are for in terms of changing America into being a culture of peace. So without ado, I'd like to introduce our special guest. I'm really, really glad that he was able to do this. Cameron Onuma is the political director for Senator Feinstein, he is the political director for Feinstein for Senate 2018. He previously served as a field representative in the office of the United States Senator Feinstein, covering the greater Los Angeles region, where he served as the senator's liaison to the African American and faith-based communities. Cameron grew up in North Hollywood, California. Prior to joining the senator's team, he worked as a radio producer, and while in college, he interned in the Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti's communication office. Cameron is a graduate of the Augustana, Augustana College. Thank you. In Rock Island, Illinois, where he doubled majored in political science and communication studies and has served for 2 years as the student government president. So take it away, Cameron.
Well, thank you, Geralyn, and thank you to everyone for welcoming me to your monthly call. I think that your mission is just truly incredible, and I just want to thank you all for being dedicated to peace. And to building upon peace and to promoting peace throughout our nation. It is much needed, not just in the political times that we're in, but I think in individual communities and households and families. And so I just have the utmost respect and appreciation for what you all are doing, and I'm very happy that I was able to join you this evening. I understand that this is a national call. We've got folks from Alaska to Florida on the line. And so to those of you who are staying up late, big thank you to you as well. Geralyn did a great job introducing myself. My name is Cameron, and I work for Senator Dianne Feinstein. I am currently on the political side of things. I'm the political director for her reelection campaign. But prior to that, I was in her Senate office staff. And so when I was in my previous capacity, I went around meeting and talking to folks just like you about the senator's legislative agenda and how they can support it. And I think the unique opportunity that we have here today is for me not only to share with you the Senator's legislative priorities currently and moving forward, but also to let you all know how you can organize around that, organize both in lobbying your respective members of Congress, but as I'll get into, you're also lobbying your other elected officials at the state and local levels. But additionally, you know, questions you should be asking candidates and things you should be keeping in mind as we head into this political season. And of course, I hope we can get into a question and answer at some point on this call. And I want to share with you all something that really sticks out in the senator's mind, and she references it a lot. There was a New York Times report a few months ago that said that while America is about 4.4% of the global population, we own 42% of the world's guns. 4% of us own 42% of the world's guns. And there was a University of Alabama professor who in 2015 said that from 1966 to 2012, 31% of gunmen in mass shootings worldwide were American. 4.4% of the population, yet nearly a third of all gunmen in mass shootings all across the world are American. America's gun homicide rates were 33 per million people in 2009, far exceeding the average among developed countries. And these statistics show, in the senator's eyes, exactly that our country is the leading perpetrator of gun deaths in this nation and really worldwide. And so the senator, this is a personal issue. She talks about why this is a personal issue. You know, the senator's first introduction to weapons was back in the 1970s when she was on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and there was a terrorist group that was threatening her life. They actually attempted to detonate a bomb outside of her home while her husband at the time was dying of cancer in the home. And so the police department in San Francisco gave her a pistol and trained her on the pistol, and she walked around for her personal safety with a weapon. I think a lot of you all know her story, how she became mayor of San Francisco. She became mayor as a product of assassination. Her colleague on the Board of Supervisors shot the mayor of San Francisco along with Supervisor Harvey Milk. Senator Feinstein has been her worldview, her political view has been shaped around gun violence, and she has been determined to do her part to reduce, if not eliminate, gun violence in this country. And so her signature accomplishment in her freshman term as senator, just a year and a half in, was to pass the assault weapons ban of 1994. And while that bill sunsetted after 10 years with the assistance of the NRA, we know that that bill worked. We know that when the assault weapons ban was in place, the number of gun massacres in this country fell by 37%, and the number of people dying from gun massacres fell by 43%. And after that ban has expired, the number of gun massacres have increased by 183%, and the number of people dying from gun massacres has increased by 239%. The ban was effective, but Republicans still blocked its extension at the behest of the NRA. And so today, I think the key piece of legislation that you all are rallying behind and I've been asked to speak to today is the senator's reintroduction of the assault weapons ban. She has done this a few times over the years, but she did it again at the end of last year following the deadliest shooting in American history in Las Vegas, where a man was in a hotel room in Mandalay Bay and brutally murdered over 50 people below. And so that combined with what happened in Parkland has renewed the senator's determination to protect Americans from these weapons and to protect our schools. And so if I may, I want to start with discussing the school safety piece, because that is the piece that has been getting a lot of attention. And so what I'm going to do is kind of speak to school safety, go back to the overall assault weapons ban, what that means, and then just kind of give a shout out to some more peaceful pieces of gun safety legislation that I think you ought to know about. The assault weapons ban is the big one. That's the one that's the most comprehensive and we believe would make a great impact. But there are also some good pieces of peaceful, smaller legislation that ought to not be ignored as well. The senator is very concerned because there was this meeting in the White House that was televised in which the president seemed open to some common sense gun reforms following the shooting in Florida. The senator often points to a story that was in the New York Times last month that says that there have been 239 school shootings since Sandy Hook in 2012. These shootings resulted in 438 people being wounded, 138 of whom were wounded fatally. There is no other country that we know of that we've been able to find in which there are shootings in classrooms at this rate, and so we're determined to do something about it. And so the White House has said there's going to be some sort of commission. Now, apparently, the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, is expected to head that commission up, and they're talking about a whole host of ideas, including arming teachers in the classroom. I think, based on my understanding of your organization, that is something that you are inclined to not be in favor of. I'm a student. I'm African American, and I grew up in the public school system, and I had experiences. We know that African American youth are suspended at higher rates than Caucasian youth for the same offenses. And so I just could not imagine being in a classroom setting in which, my sixth grade teacher or my first grade teacher had access to a weapon. We think it is absurd. We think it is ridiculous. And we're really worried about the White House's desire to explore this. And so kind of the one thing we ask that you keep in mind as we move forward around rallying around gun reform legislation, gun reform ideas, is realizing that we are beginning to find ourselves in a position where this is not exclusively a national issue. Of course, there have been states that have expanded access to weapons. There have been states like mine here in California that has restricted it. But now we may also have to have conversations with school boards and conversations with our county boards about how to approach the possibility of arming teachers. And I think that is something that we ought to consider and think about moving forward. You know, I live here in Los Angeles. A letter from LAUSD or from the San Francisco Public School System to the Department of Education saying we don't want guns in our classroom may easily be dismissed by this administration. But a letter from a school board in Iowa or Georgia or Alabama may weigh a little bit heavier. And so I think the great privilege of this being a national organization is that you all can look at this issue as it applies to your individual backyards and see how you can be effective in that way. Back to the assault weapons ban, just so you all know, the purpose of that legislation is relatively simple. The bill would amend the federal criminal code to make it a crime to knowingly import, sell, manufacture, transfer, possess a semi-automatic weapon or a large capacity ammunition feeding device, which is basically a large magazine that allows you to shoot a number of bullets very quickly. The prohibition does not apply to firearms that are manually operated by a bolt, a pump, a lever, or side action, that are permanently inoperable, that are antiques, or it does not apply to a rifle or a shotgun specifically identified by make and model. Additionally, the senator's comprehensive assault weapons ban does not prohibit the importation, sale, manufacture, transfer, or possession related to certain law enforcement efforts or authorized tests or experiments. It also does not ban the importation, sale, transfer, or possession related to securing nuclear materials. There are nuclear sites that need to be protected, and so this bill exempts those sites. And also the bill exempts retired law enforcement officers. This bill is very similar to the assault weapons ban of 1994. I think the biggest difference is that the big part of the legislation is it exempts a number of weapons that fall into the categories that I just explained. And I think the greatest difference is kind of the evolution of guns and gun models as it differs from today, from 1994. And so this bill would also amend the Crime Control and Safe Streets Act of 1968 to allow state or local governments to use grant funds to compensate individuals who surrender the semi-automatic weapons or large-capacity ammunition feeding devices. And so while the ban would not apply to existing guns that have been purchased under existing legal law, if you were to choose to turn in that gun, if you inherit it from a relative or you decide that you no longer need it, there is a provision in this legislation that would allow you to receive some sort of reward. And so with that is the big piece that we're talking about. I want to very quickly just give a shout out to some other piecemeal bills that I think ought to be on your mind as you think about how you can be active. There is Senator Feinstein and Senator Flake have introduced a bipartisan bill to raise the minimum age to purchase an assault weapon from 18 to 21. As many of you all know, under current law, a licensed gun dealer cannot sell a handgun to anyone under the age of 21, but somehow they're allowed to sell assault rifles like AR-15s to anyone over the age of 18. And so the senator is under the belief that, A, you know, ideally we wouldn't want any of these guns out there, but if you can't buy a beer, we don't understand why you would be able to buy an AR-15. And so that is a bipartisan piece of legislation. In addition to Senator Feinstein and Flake, unfortunately, there is only one co-sponsor on that bill, and that's Mr. Nelson of Florida. I forgot to mention, as it applies to the senator's assault weapons bill, there are 26 co-sponsors, all of whom are members of the Democratic caucus. Another bill that is piecemeal is a Feinstein bill, and that is a bill that would ban bump stocks. Bump stocks are the device that was used in the Las Vegas shooting. It allows you to take a semi-automatic weapon and use an adapter to turn it into an automatic weapon. As many of you know, automatic weapons have been banned in this country since the 1980s. Yet it is completely legal for you to buy an adapter that would turn your semi-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon. There's been a lot of back and forth about the ATF's ability to regulate it. Senator Feinstein is of the belief that her bill ought to be brought forth for a hearing in the Judiciary Committee. And quite honestly, Congress ought to weigh in and codify the banning of bump stocks into law. And that bill is called S-1968. The Automatic Gunfire Prevention Act. And finally, there is a bill in which Chris Murphy of Connecticut is the lead, and that's a piece of legislation that would expand background checks. That's S-209. And so I hope that you all will keep in mind the background checks bill, the setting the age to 21 bill, that's S-2470, it's called the Age 21 Act, as well as the bill that would ban bump stocks, the Automatic Gunfire Prevention Act, S-1916. And so with that, I'll take your questions, and I hope we can keep in mind that, you know, one thing that I'm really thinking about is how we can organize and rally around pushing these legislation at the national level, supporting efforts at state levels, and keeping in mind that it appears that the Trump administration is going to begin taking a serious look at allowing teachers to be armed, and how we can organize at the very local level with our school boards and with our parents to make it very clear to this White House and to this president that is not something that we want or need in our communities. And as well as, it's going to be very honest, the electoral implications of actually making this stuff happen. As I said, the assault weapons ban only has 26 co-sponsors, all of whom are Democrat. The raise the age bill only has one additional co-sponsor, that person is a Democrat. And so we're going to need more people to sign on. We're going to need a Speaker of the House who's willing to bring forth this legislation if we're going to be able to make a real difference. And with that, I'll take your questions.
Thanks so much, Cameron. Folks who have questions can press number one on your keypad, on your telephone keypad, and that'll indicate your hand is raised. And I'll call on you as close as I can to the order in which your hand goes up. I see hands starting to go up. So again, press one on your keypad, and I will go ahead and recognize you. We'll start with Nancy Merritt. Go ahead, Nancy. Your mic is open.
Okay. Hello. I want to thank you, Cameron, and thank the senator for her work in this area. It's so important. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. I know people who were shot in the 101 California shooting years ago in San Francisco, and someone who was impacted by the vet's home shooting just a few days ago, and everything in between. So I really appreciate her work on this. I wanted to say that we just were at the California Democratic Party convention, and we tabled with the Gun Violence Prevention Coalition in San Diego, and numerous teachers came by our booth. Not one single teacher thought it was a good idea to arm teachers. So I wanted to ask two questions. First, we would love to have Senator Feinstein's support as a sponsor of a bill in the Senate for U.S. Department of Peacebuilding. And second, on the assault weapons ban, does that have a sunset clause? Would that be a 10-year bill also?
So, thank you, Nancy, and I'm sorry I missed you in San Diego. We were down there, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
I am not a legislative staffer, so I am not in a position to speak to the Department of Peace bill. I am familiar with it. I encourage you to talk to Sean Ellsburn. He is the senator's state director in San Francisco. He's a former county supervisor in San Francisco. He's a very approachable man, and he can be reached at 415-393-0707. And Sean Ellsburn would be your point of contact on asking the senator to commit to certain pieces of legislation. That used to be my job. That's just not something by law, quite honestly, I'm in a position to do. As it pertains to the assault weapons ban, in its current form, as I understand it, there is no sunset, but it could very well be something that is involved in negotiating the package moving forward. But as currently written, there is no sunset, as I understand it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, thanks, Nancy. And again, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question or if you want to join the discussion. Go back to our co-host, Geraldine Stapleton. Geraldine, your mic's open.
Yes, hi, Cameron. Fantastic job. Thank you so much. I just wanted to make sure that I have the bill numbers correct so I can add them to our
Absolutely.
List. S-2170, S-1916, and also S-209. Is that correct?
So S-209 is the Background Check Expansion Act.
Right.
Then there's S-1916, the Automatic Gunfire Prevention Act.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is S-2095, which is the Assault Weapons Ban. And then there is S-2470, the Age 21 Act. So, yes, you're correct. Four pieces of legislation I'm highlighting.
I'm sorry. Is it 2470 or 2170?
2470 is the Age 21 Act.
The Age. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Thanks, Geraldine. Great. Terry Mason, who is one of our board of directors, chair people, is on. Go ahead, Terry. Your mic is open.
Hi, Cameron. Thank you so much for joining, and forgive my voice. I'm suffering bronchitis this week. I think you're probably preaching to the choir in this room in terms of not wanting to arm teachers. But across the middle of America, perhaps the red states, perhaps, you know, a lot of different areas, the climate is different, and I've heard it said that the only thing that's going to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So how do we effectively converse with the opposition, if you call it the opposition? How do we talk to people who might be insecure about that issue? It's one thing just to say we talk to a bunch of teachers and they don't want to have guns. I mean, the recent law in Florida leaves it up to the local districts to decide, the school districts to decide, the schools to decide. But how do we, you know, from a point of view of really trying to come together and on an agenda that's going to progress this forward in a productive way to remove guns because guns cause violence or have the potential to, instead of increasing their presence, how do we have that conversation? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do, and I think, unfortunately, not by choice, we find ourselves in a situation where people are forcing us to have this conversation. And so when you are deciding who you want to elect to your local school board, instead of, you know, traditionally, you know, how they feel about charter schools or teacher tenure or where they would invest, would they buy new books or would they, you know, invest in building new schools, how they feel about classroom sizes. I think, unfortunately, we are going to have to add this conversation about how do you feel like we protect our schools? Is it increased school police presence, which is something that many districts have? Here in Los Angeles, we have a school police department, and almost every high school has an armed police officer assigned to it. Or are we going to arm our teachers? Something else I would encourage is to reach out to a diverse group of communities that may not traditionally find themselves within your network. And I go back to, you know, my own personal life experience. I was raised by a single mom here in Los Angeles. I think she's, knowing her, she's 100% supportive of what you all are doing, and she just probably doesn't know you exist, unfortunately. But what she does know is that her son, her sons, were treated a little bit differently growing up, right? The way that a student of color may react to a particular situation may be viewed as threatening to a teacher or an administrator who comes from a different background of that person. Or that child in of themselves may be a victim of violence and trauma at home, and therefore they are acting out in the only way that they know how to. And so in a world where, you know, I get a little extra nervous when a police officer drives behind me as an adult, for us to – I can assure you that, you know, given my experience working with communities of color, parents of color, I think, would be particularly alarmed to learn that teachers who are not trained, teachers who have who obviously have quite a learning curve. I think, you know, many teachers I know will tell you that, you know, they wish they knew 10 years ago what they know now. I do not be in possession of a weapon. And something else that I think is important to know is that the statistics are just not there. I just, you know, explained how gun violence was at a low when the assault weapons ban was the law of this land. And so the belief that anything that is stopping a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun is a bit absurd, particularly when you are talking about weapons of war. And so if you're going to arm a teacher, are you arming that teacher with a pistol? Are you arming that teacher with an AK-47? And you mean to tell me that there are parents in this country, and I'm sure there are a few of them, but I don't think they're by any means a majority, that are comfortable with their kindergartner walking into a classroom every day where it becomes the norm for them to see an AK-47. And so I think these are tough conversations that we have to start having everywhere. This has been, in my view, exclusively an issue that we have discussed at the congressional level. And I think what we find ourselves in now is that this is not an issue only in congressional lobbying and congressional elections, but also when it comes to your state legislature, your county boards, and your school boards.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to take building coalitions, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Cameron,
thank you.
This is Dan. Yeah.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. I'd love to hear your thoughts about where in the spectrum of violence prevention and possibly violence prevention legislation, as much as you are comfortable speaking to that, you know, for yourself and for Senator Feinstein. Where in the spectrum would you put measures that build a more peaceful culture within the school through things like social and emotional learning and restorative discipline practices and empathetic communication skill building? These are the kind of things that we're starting to get a lot of statistics that show that they do work in reducing violence. I can send you a sheet of stats if you're interested. Is this getting into this political moment at all? Is there a place for saying we have proven methods that reduce alienation, you know, that'll keep a kid from going, you know, from turning into a school shooter basically turning into a gangbanger, et cetera. where's the place in this at all from your perspective or from the perspective of the senator, as far as you know?
Oh, I think that from her perspective, that is a key piece that is often missed out. Now, whether that is, I don't know of any particular legislation at the federal level, whether that is something that is best instituted by local governments in terms of creating and implementing programs, or if the federal government create a framework that can then be utilized by local governments and states, I'm unsure. But listen, what is always interesting to me is when these things happen, when we learn about the gunmen, when we learn about the warning signs, when we learn about people who said, yeah, there was something off, yeah, there was something to be concerned about there, and we let it go. And also when we learn about, in the case of the young man in Parkland, who it seemed like he had a bit of a troubling childhood. And so I agree with you. I think that is an essential piece. A person who is emotionally and mentally well does not kill people. And so I think that's an essential piece. The status of it is something that I just generally am not aware of right now. Again, I find myself on the political end, not so much the legislative end at this particular point. But it is my hope, and please share that with me, and I'll share it with the powers that be, but it is my hope that you all and others continue to pound away at that, and even, quite honestly, pound away at that as it pertains to Senator Feinstein. I think that is a perspective that is important and that ought to be at the center of continuing conversations around reducing gun violence in this country. Reducing gun violence in this country, particularly when all of the laws that we're talking about in terms of taking these weapons off the street would only apply moving forward, right? So if you get your hands on Grant Paul's AK-47, you still can do a lot of trouble. It has to be centered on mental health, has to be centered on identifying people who are troubled, has to be centered on promoting peace, promoting emotional health, promoting community awareness about the importance of emotional health and mental health and supporting those who are struggling is essential. And it's quite honestly, it's unfortunate that not enough of us are talking about it. So I thank you, because that's something that I think those of us who work on this stuff don't immediately think of, and that's a real shame. And so, you know, I hope you can keep all of us a little bit more responsible, your organization.
We'll do our best. Thank you. I'm happy to send you a fact sheet. I'll get on that.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's been a real pleasure having you with us. And as I mentioned to you earlier, you're welcome to stay with us for the rest of the call if you'd like, but we also understand if you're on a schedule, if you have other places to go and things to do. So I want to express my deep thanks, and it's a pleasure meeting you. And I'm also going to turn this over to Geralyn just to say a final thanks and farewell, because she's the one who found you for us. Geralyn, you're open.
Okay.
Cameron, I cannot thank you enough for your taking the time to be on this call. Just excellent job of presenting all of this. Thank you. And I think I owe you a lunch or something. How about that?
Well, I will not turn you down. Okay. I look forward to it. Thank you all
right.
So much.
We'll figure that out offline.
Donald Trump traffic. But thank you so much to everyone, and best of luck to you. And please don't hesitate to reach out if there's anything we can do to be of support.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. I'd like to bring everybody's attention. Wasn't that great? And for folks that want to share that with others, the recording for this call tonight, as usual, will be up on our website within a few days. Now I'd like to bring your attention to the action sheet that was sent to folks and everyone who had registered for the call a half hour or more before the call was sent an action sheet for the month of March. So if you have access to your email inbox and can take a look at that, I sent a Word version and a PDF version. And on that action sheet are the bill numbers and descriptions of the House and Senate versions of the assault weapons ban, as well as an assortment of other bills that you might be interested in advocating for. So I want to ask you to get access to those action sheets. And we're going to move into discussing that action in just a moment. Before we get really into the action-oriented part of this call, I've asked Kendra Mon, who's a member of the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, to grace us with another guided meditative moment. We had a little meditation time and a little guided meditation on our call last month, and I was so thrilled with how it went that I asked her to join us again and maybe offer some guidance and help us to get a little bit of centering time and maybe enter the discussion of this action from a place that will really be deeply connected with the way that we want to walk in the world, really to walk our talk as well as we can. So Kendra, thanks for joining us again and welcome. Kendra, your phone might be muted. I've opened your phone line, but you might have your own phone muted.
And I'm okay now?
There you are, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, sorry. So when we lobby, in essence, we're trying to mostly, we think about convincing another person that what we're saying is right. But in actuality, that's not a very good peace-building stance. What we want to do is connect with people. And so what we're going to do in this is practice what is called the connection practice, originated by Rita Mae Johnson, Rita Marie Johnson. And so what we want to do, if you would like to join us, is to sit straight, straighten your back, feet on the floor, and pull your chin back a little bit. We tend to have head forward, so we want our heads over our shoulders. And start breathing what I call slow belly breaths, where you breathe in deeply and breathe out. And on the next one, imagine that your breath is actually coming in through your heart. And that you're exhaling through your heart. Rita Marie tells us that what happens is, please continue doing that. While I explain that, she says that this warms our heart and helps us access our heart energy and our heart wisdom. So when we make contact with someone, we want to speak from our heart and listen from our hearts. And invite them in to connect with us. And just as you can hear a smile on a telephone call, I'm imagining that you can hear the difference when we speak from our hearts. So if we do this little exercise before we make our calls or before we go in to visit a legislator, and listen from our hearts to the cues that they give us about where they are at that moment. It may be even more important to connect then to pass on the information. But definitely we want to pass on the information. And I think just as hurt people, I'm imagining or believing that heart people, so thank you for joining me in this moment, and let's go back to the call.
Thank you so much, Kendra. Okay, so I'm looking for a volunteer who might be willing to read the top of the action sheet, read the first three little sections there. It's basically the top third of the page. Anybody in a frame of mind, attitude, that you might be willing to read aloud a little bit? Put a voice on the call. Press 1 on your keypad if you're willing to read to us. Andrea, you might have put everybody into a heightened state of relaxation. Their eyes are closed and they don't want to read. That's okay. Give you about 5 more seconds in case you're trying to find the number 1 on your keypad. There, Judy. Wonderful. Hi, Judy. Wait. Oh, Mike.
I'll be glad to read. So you want me to read the first? You're welcome. You want me to read the first 3 paragraphs here?
Yeah, and before you do, let me just let folks know who don't know. Judy is the other one of our chair people of our board of directors, so just so you know who you're hearing. Yeah, please, from the top all the way down to the switchboard number.
Okay. Peace Alliance Action Sheet, March 2018. Safety, well-being, and progress are the goals of this action. Reducing the availability of some of the deadliest weapons in our midst. Calling on Congress to enact S-2095 and H.R. 5087. In plain language, this is an assault weapon ban. We have been feeling profound grief and anguish after a series of shootings where angry, sad, alienated individuals had easy access to powerful, efficient killing machines. There are many paths toward healing this situation. Some may include cultural transformations within schools, communities, and families. While we are deeply dedicated to an assortment of such proactive solutions, we are now responding to a sense of danger and concern by directly seeking disarmament.
Thanks, Judy.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I'd like us to have a few minutes for discussion. If folks have questions or thoughts about this, I just wanted to acknowledge that this is, as Geraldine was saying earlier, this is a different kind of legislation than the Peace Alliance usually does promote. We're generally promoting practices, programs, and the policies that help us to work things out. Right? How do we hear each other internationally? How do we learn about emotional bridge building in schools and our justice systems? So a ban on assault weapons is something different. It's a different angle. It's something that, you know, many of us were called to connect with. And this movement may shine a light on other, different level solutions around restorative practices, around social and emotional learning. And we felt called to call for a reduction in the availability of these weapons. So that's something that we can talk about further again, as I said. Judy, would you be willing to continue reading the step-by-step?
Sure. I'll be glad to.
Okay, great.
There's a number for the Congressional Switchboard, 202-224-3121. Number one, make sure you know who your House member is. And link to the link that's there. Should I read it? House.
No, it's okay. I can find the link.
If you're not certain of your two U.S. entities, you can Google that question as well. Two, call the number above three separate times, once for each senator and once for your House member. Express your support for at least the below-name bill, House or Senate version. Say as much or as little as you would like about the need for a variety of solutions and or the importance of this step towards safety. Four, optional, keep track of the name of the person you spoke with. Get an email address for them to follow up and continue the relationship over months, sharing information, concerns, and priorities. Five, another option, say as much as you wish about any of the other bills on the next few pages. You want me to continue to read all the bills? Or?
No, thank you. That's fine. Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks, Judy.
Yeah.
So just for added clarity, the basic action is to support this assault weapons ban, and the first two bills that are listed on this action sheet are simply the Senate version of the assault weapons ban and the House version of the assault weapons ban. Okay, so that's the basic idea. And then after that, there's a list for you of other current bills that are aimed at preventing gun violence, bills that are in the House and Senate right now that you might want to look at. You know, they have to do with background checks and with money for research and other things. So if you want to go further and see what else is out there and possibly make that part of your conversation, these are available for you, as well as the three other bills that Cameron shared with us a little while ago, S-2470, S-1916, and S-209. Those are three that were not on our list. So that's the idea, and what I would now like is a role play. If someone is willing to have an imaginary phone call, pretend to be dialing that number so we can hear what it sounds like. So I'll put Judy's hand down for now, and if you're willing to have that imaginary pretend phone call with me being the operator on the phone right now, please press 1, and we'll give it a try just to demonstrate what it can sound like. Anybody feeling like giving it a go? Just go ahead and press 1. And seeing no one, I'm going to call on my steadfast friend, Lori, who had agreed that she would fill in if there were no hands shooting out. Lori, welcome to the call.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Lori. So we can start with, who do you want to call first? Well, you should tell me. I'll be the switchboard first. You can start with ring, ring, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Ring, ring.
Hello, Congressional Switchboard. How may I help you?
Hello. Can you connect me to the office of Senator Lisa Murkowski?
Just one moment, please. Hello, Senator Murkowski's office. This is Dan.
Hi, Dan. This is Lori Draper, and I wanted to tell my senator that I would like to see her support Senate Bill 2095, the assault weapons ban. Is there someone in the office that I should speak to regarding this?
Well, I'll be happy to record your opinion, your concerns, and convey them to the senator. Is that right?
Okay. I'm a constituent from Seward. My name is Lori Draper, and there's a bill, Senate Bill 2095, which is the assault weapons ban of 2017, and I just wanted to urge her support of that bill.
Hey, I will go ahead and pass that along to her.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thank you. Okay, so debrief time. Lori, what did you think you did well there? What would you want to remember and do again if you were to, when you do that for real?
Well, let's see. Excuse me here. I didn't realize I had you on speakerphone. I always like when I remember to say that I'm a constituent. Kind of puts in my mind that they work for me.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. It's, you know, pretty simple and basic to just say, you know, say what I want. I just kept it brief and just urge support. Sometimes I can tend to go off on lots of information that probably wouldn't get relayed. I think that someone's just sitting there, like, taking a tally of who's calling in for what bills.
Shall I share what I saw that I thought was probably worth doing again?
Sure.
Yeah. So I agree. I mentioned your constituent. I think it was useful. You said the Senate bill number and the name. So that's handy, easy for them to track. If you share the number and the name, you could have probably just said the number, and that would have been enough. But it doesn't hurt to also tell them the name. And you said where you were from also, which is nice, from Seward. And so, as you said, yeah, that was a straight-ahead basic call, got the job done. What about anything more or different that you might do if you did it again? Any thoughts about other things that you might do?
Well, I, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, there's someone in Senator Murkowski's office that I have a relationship with. You know, if I had more time, and I would want to speak to that person and ask to leave a message for that particular person. I mean, I guess that would be something that I do in real life. And I've kind of built that relationship up over the years of lobbying.
Gotcha. So you have that personal connection with somebody in the office. So if you were actually doing this for real, you would ask for that person so that you can just continue the conversation that you've already been having for years. Okay. Anything else occur to you?
No, I guess not. I mean, there's a lot of other bills on this sheet. And maybe I'm, you know, looking at, you know, from Alaska, I might choose some, you know, maybe I should have started with something a little less. Assault weapons ban is probably pretty optimistic for me to think I might get my senator to support that. So I might have maybe thought about starting with one of the other bills, like the age limit or something.
Gotcha. What do you think about kind of how I did with Cameron, introducing the idea that, like, changing school culture can be a part of reducing violence in school settings, that if we have social-emotional learning in the curriculum, if we have restorative discipline, that could actually create a safer school culture where people are less likely to feel alienated and hostile. Is that something that you could see potentially bringing up as kind of a point of discussion?
That's a really good idea.
Like that idea? Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you like that. I have the sense that Peace Alliance constituency, our folks, our Peace Alliance people, are pretty unusually highly qualified to take advantage of this moment and introduce our legislators to this other array of options for reducing school violence. I would encourage people to think about having some of that conversation. All right. Well, thank you for that, Lori.
You're welcome.
So now we've got 6 minutes left. What I'd like to do is see if anybody has questions about the action or about anything that we've discussed so far. If you want to, you know, discuss the idea of an assault weapons ban or these other approaches to peace building in schools or in culture, you know, I'm open to having any kind of a discussion that you would like. And also if you want to share what's happening in your part of the world, kind of want to combine those things together since we now have 5 minutes left. So anybody who would either want to ask questions about this action, make a comment about the choice to focus on these bills, or approach to lobbying and advocacy, or if you want to share what's going on in your... Oh, I'm glad Nancy Merritt raised her hand, because I honestly had slipped my mind. We were expecting a Department of Peacebuilding update. Nancy, I'm so sorry. Thank you. How quick can you go?
Hey. So I do have a question. You had mentioned sending out a fact sheet to Cameron about the school social-emotional learning. Is that something we have on our website, or is that something you could send or post or something?
Oh, I have not yet scanned the new website in that department. We have a new website. Everybody go check it out. It's the same site, same address, peacealliance.org, but it's a new look, new content. And we used to have this fact sheet in the restorative justice section under issues. While you're talking, I'll check and see if it's there. If it's not there, I'll send it to everybody on the call.
So we have a lot going on with Department of Peacebuilding actions, and I'll just have to give you the highest points, I guess, because we don't have much time. We're in the midst of Season for Nonviolence, have signed on two new co-sponsors, Nanette Berrigan from California and Benny Thompson from Mississippi. We can use your help, so if you can contact either your person, or we have about 30 congresspeople nationwide we're focusing on, and you want to know those people, please email me at nancy@peacealliance.org. We also just added five new organizations to our organization endorser list, and it includes Dolores Huerta from United Farm Workers fame, Peace Poles for Schools, Salute Integrity, San Diegans for Gun Violence Prevention, and the World Peace Prayer Society. And this is something, another thing we can really use everybody's help on. If you can, if you have organizations that you represent or want to send out something to help us add to this list, you can email me. Then we all, the California group just got back from the California Democratic Party convention in San Diego, where we did a lot. I barely can know where to begin, but we, one of the main things we did is submitted language to the California Democratic Party platform. Almost all of it was accepted, so we now have either new or preserved peace-building language in 16 of the 23 planks, and those planks cross every issue you can imagine, and if I had time, I would tell you. We tabled, we partnered at our table with a group, the San Diegans for Gun Violence Prevention, which includes the Brady Group, Moms Demand Actions, the Sandy Hook Group, and a bunch of others. And we also partnered with the Kids for Peace. And both the three groups working together had actions, overlapping actions regarding gun violence prevention and recruiting Department of Peacebuilding co-sponsors. And it was a really good partnership, and I'm pretty sure we'll continue working together on various other things, including we have some stuff going on in San Diego. So, and a lot of what we did was networking, and that's really an important component of what we're all doing. So I encourage you in any actions or things you do to partner with other groups. And a ton of other stuff happened. We met a lot of candidates and went to a lot of the caucus meetings and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully I'll get a story up on Movers and Shakers with more details about this. And this is all leading soon into our Mother's Day Peace Wants a Piece of the Pie action. And we will be going to Washington, D.C. in the fall for Advocacy Days. So we should be having a Save the Date email blast about both of those things coming up. So anyway, any of you can help, please write me, and we'll connect you in.
Wonderful, Nancy. Thank you. Sorry to make you hurry. And I'm gonna blame my forgetfulness on Kendra's amazing meditation. Took me out of the world of schedules. No, just kidding. Blame is entirely mine. We're at the top of the hour, and I see a couple of hands are up, but I don't want to keep you overly long. I did look at the website, and that fact sheet is not there, at least as far as I could find it. So I'll send a fact sheet with some compelling statistics to everybody who was registered for this call tonight. And I will stay on for a couple more minutes for folks that want to continue. If you have questions or want to have discussion after we kind of let folks go, I'm happy to stay and hear what's on your mind and answer any questions if I can. But for now, I'm going to say I'll offer the closing quote, which is my all-time favorite Peace Alliance conference call closing quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, which is that the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. Now I'm going to unmute your mics. After that, I'll stay on the call and see if folks want to continue discussion. But for now, I'm going to unmute everybody and give you a chance to say goodnight, because I'm